as we've sung, speak, O Lord, as we come to you, that as we receive the food of your word, we may be encouraged in our journey of faith with you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please sit. We're going to look together at Psalm 19 that Jim read for us. It's on page 552 of the Church Bibles if you want to open them up. And just to say that during my sermon, there's going to be the opportunity for some congregational participation. Be ready for it when it comes. Psalm 19, you may have noticed, comes in two parts. The psalmist, believed to be David, rejoices and expresses how he sees God revealed himself. And the first is as he looks up to the heavens, because for him they declare the glory of God. He sees the hand of God the Creator, who, as Genesis 1 reminds us, called the world into being. The world has design and shape. A hymn we sometimes sing begins like this: O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. What? You are there. Yeah, how great thou art. And that echoes what the psalmist felt as he looked to the heavens. As the psalmist looked up, he hears God speak without words, and the language is international, and it can be heard across the globe. Paul expressed it like this in Romans chapter 1. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. In other words, creation points to a creator. Of all the art psalmist sees, it is the sun in verses 4 to 6 that he focuses on. Why did he do that? Well, he would have been well aware that many of the tribes and cultures surrounding the people of God worshipped the sun, or a god represented by the sun. There was a logic to this, for the sun clearly provided light and warmth essential to life. And it could not, as we know today, because of its piercing brightness, be safely viewed directly by the human eye. The psalmist, I'm sure, could see how people sadly could make the sun the object of their worship. But for him, it wasn't the sun that should be worshipped, but the awesome God who created it. And as he reflected on it, three thoughts came to his mind. Firstly, that the heavens are like a tent in which the sun resides and comes in and out by day and by night. That secondly, its rising is like a resplendent bridegroom emerging in the morning in his glorious finery. And thirdly, as he observes the sun move across the sky, he's reminded of the champion athlete, exhilarated by running and completing the course. As the psalmist observed and watched the sun, it reminded of him something further for him about the character of the God who created it. It was glorious and constant and life-giving, dependable and faithful, and it was available to everyone. If the heavens reveal and speak of God's glory, and the sun illuminates and gives life, then so he acknowledges, secondly, does God's word. He uses words to paint a picture of all it means to him in verses 7 to 11. David's Bible, of course, was much smaller than ours. What was the Torah? What are for us the first five books of the Bible, which give the law, which was to govern the relationship between God and his people? The law was God's commandments, and he expresses it in a number of different ways, referring to statutes, precepts, instructions, commands, decrees. The law was all-encompassing and given to us to shape our lives and to make sure we walked in the way that God intended. These laws are given by the living God, and the psalmist sees in them their worth. Look what he says in verse 7, "For they are perfect and trustworthy." Verse 8, "Right and radiant." 9, "Pure and sure," or to put it another way, "firm." And because the psalmist sees God's word like that, he rejoices in all it gives. For in obeying and following it, it revives the soul, gives wisdom, joy, light, and warning, or perhaps a better translation may be, gives instruction. It seems clear that the reading of God's word thrilled David. And that may come as a surprise to us when you remember it was the law, God's rules, he was reflecting on. But he didn't see them as a burden or boring, but as a blessing. In fact, verse 10, he saw it as more precious than gold, so to be treasured and valued and sweeter than honey, to be savoured and enjoyed. Now, over these last 5 or 6 minutes that I've been speaking, we've been thinking about the fruit of David's study as he looked out on the world and into God's word, which, as I said, was just the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. But of course, we have the whole Bible, Old and New Testament. And the gospel is recorded for us, the life and ministry of Jesus, who came, as we read in Matthew's gospel, not to abolish the law and the prophets, but actually to fulfill them. In him we find our life. Our sermon series during the season of Lent are exploring spiritual practices which Christians over the centuries found helpful to deepen their faith and understanding of God. So far we've looked at simplicity. I wonder how your decluttering is going. I bet you didn't want me to remind you, did you? Generosity. Last week, fasting. And today we're considering the spiritual practice of study. And the purpose of our study as Christians is to gain understanding and growing our knowledge of God, allowing our reflection through the working of God's Spirit to actually transform us from within. What are we to study? Well, we could do no better than follow the psalmist's example to see God's glory in the natural world around. For the psalmist, the heavens declared the glory of God, and as the sun rose and set, he saw in it God's faithfulness. We know too from Jesus' teaching, he observed the natural world around him. We heard in that reading that John read for us from Luke about the unproductive fig tree from which Jesus drew a spiritual lesson. But Jesus also spoke about flowers and birds and vines. Well, I'm sure we all have memories of a moment when the view of creation, a sunrise or sunset, the majesty of mountains or of a waterfall, has caused us just to go, wow, and be filled with a sense of awe and joy and thanks and praise to God has actually just welled up in us. I walked back home from Alpha 2 weeks ago. It was a cold, cloudless night, and the sky was filled with stars. It looked amazing. But I knew beyond what I could see was a vast universe, all part of God's creation. And against the vastness of that, I felt very small, but actually not insignificant, because if God loves the world, then he loved me too, as he does each of us. And it reminded me of the hymn, "For the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, we raise to thee what?" This our joyful hymn of praise. Gracious me. So we can study the wonderful and intricate world God has created, and so give him the glory and praise, for we are to worship the Creator, not the creation. But secondly, to give our attention to God's Word. For if we want God to speak to us, then one of the primary ways he does is through the study of the Bible. And it cannot speak unless we open it and read it. Now, it may be you've tried it and not found it easy. And let's be honest, sometimes it isn't, for it was written at a different time in a different culture. But if we come to it humbly and with openness and expectancy, when we open it and read, amazingly, God can speak to us through it, as many Christians will give testimony. But we're fortunate in our time to have available to us aids to help us in our study of the Bible. One is, and I'm sure many of you may use them already, Bible reading notes like Every Day with Jesus or New Daylight, produced by the Bible Reading Fellowship, or Daily Bread by Scripture Union. These give daily readings and reflection. And there are others you can get. And if you have access to a computer or a smartphone, you can download things like BibleInOneYear.org. What all these aids do is give us a structure for our Bible study and some explanation of the passage. Another way is to make use of Bible commentaries like these Everyone series. The Old Testament has been written by John Goldingay and the New Testament by Tom Wright. And they've produced commentaries on every book of the Bible. And their writing gives the fruit of their biblical and theological study. But they write in very accessible ways, which is why I would recommend them to you. But of course, there are other Bible commentary series produced that you can look at. And of course, alongside the study of the Bible, you could read a Christian book to gain the insight from others in their journey of faith with God. Perhaps you've got one on your bookshelf at home that you've read. Perhaps it's worth rereading. But if you're not, take a look at the ones on the table with the Lent material at the back of church, or the ones on the bookstall by the font. And if you read one that's helped you in your journey of faith and deepened your understanding of God, share it with others. Let others benefit from the fruit of your study. Well, you may be thinking, the spiritual practice of study sounds like hard work. And yes, sometimes it is. But hard work also brings reward and blessing and can transform our lives. The psalmist's study enriched his life as he saw God's glory revealed in the natural world around. Take time this week to to look with wonder at the natural world around. If we have eyes to see, there are daily reminders from the moment in the morning we open our eyes of God the Creator, to whom we give praise and to whom all glory is due. We're privileged to live in an area of outstanding natural beauty, but because we're so familiar with it, we can come a bit complacent and not notice the things around. Take time to study and observe the world around you this week, including people. And I want to encourage you, if you're not already doing so, to do some Bible study, to make a little space and time each day during this week, perhaps just 10 minutes, to reflect on the Bible passages in that handout that Anthony produced to go with this sermon series, and see how God may speak to you. That in and through the spiritual practice of the study of the Bible, like David our psalmist, we may find God's word to be more precious than gold, to be held on to and treasured, and sweet like honey, enriching our faith, and through reflection, shaping our lives. And if we discover it to be of more value than gold and sweeter than honey, we may even be inspired to make regular the practice of study. And so let us pray. Blessed Lord, who caused all scriptures to be written for our learning, help us so to hear them, to read, study, and learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may grow in our knowledge of you, in our love for you, and in our faith in you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.